This is Paul Close. Today's date is 11-8-73. Time is 1:15 p.m. I'll be interviewing Mr. Harry Lehman of Bertrand, Michigan. Topics to be discussed are conditions of the Depression, Mr. Lehman's life, general facts about Bertrand's history in the school. Mr. Lehman, would you please tell a few facts about your early life?
I was born in Nebraska, came to Michigan at the age of 5, attended public school in Mansalona, graduated from high school there, attended County Normal, Antrim County Normal, Mansalona, and upon completion of that course, I taught a country school near Central Lake for a year. In those days, all you needed was one year of County Normal to teach in a rural school. I had an 8th grade school, had all 8 grades. Because of the lack of accommodations in the school district, I stayed in Central Lake, and which was 3 miles from the school. The roads were not kept open at that time during winter, so it was necessary to walk both ways, 3 miles each way, to and from school. After 1 year in the rural school, I decided to go and get my life certificate. I spent 2 years at Central Michigan, where I obtained what at that time was called a 3-year life. From there, I went to Alden, where I taught in a township unit school for 2 years. Again, I started both times at $90 a month. The Depression was on, of course. I went back then after 2 years at Alden, obtained my degree, and came to Bertrand again at $90 a month, and we were all glad to get jobs then during the Depression. I came here as teacher, coach, and principal, and came with Russell Ashworth, who was the superintendent. At the end of the first year, Mr. Ashworth resigned to take a job in private industry, and the board made me the superintendent, and I continued in this job until 1966, when I retired from the superintendency and went back to classroom teaching until January of 72. In spite of the low pay, I was able to obtain excellent board, room, and washing for $5 a week when I first came here. Second year, they raised it to $6, but we had excellent food, which is hard to believe now. During the Depression, while I was at school, there were several of us that batched it in the apartment central and contributed $1.25 a week apiece, which had to feed us for the week. Far cry from what we have to pay for meals today.
Could you say how many credit hours, or approximately how many hours a week you spent in school in a regular class situation?
You mean at college?
At college, yes.
Well, I would say probably the same as you do now. That time we had terms, 3 terms.
That's what we have at Sagamon.
And we carried the usual load at that time.
Was it 15 credits or 16 or whatever?
I think it was 16 at that time. Of course, at the time when I first went to Central, I worked 2 years in the old Bennett Hotel there for boardroom and washing, too, in order to get through. I wasn't able to get a hold of any money. The banks were closed, and no one had any money to loan. There's not much of any way to earn any, either. Did work for WPA, digging ditches on the campus there, and also preparing tracks and football field, which we got 25 cents an hour, I remember.
Mr. Lehman, back to Bertrand now. What were students like in class size and things like this back when you first started teaching at Bertrand?
Well, students are probably much the same as they are now. You had a small percentage that were not too interested in school. Most of them, however, were here because they wanted to be in high school. The was not unusual to have classes of 40. Child attainment, because we had five primary districts, or what's commonly called one-room schools, they only had to attend through the eighth grade. If they wanted to go on to high school, then they came into Birch Run to finish up. If they didn't want to go, or their parents didn't want them to go, they could drop out at the end of the eighth grade. Some of them, I used to go talk to the eighth grade graduates and try to convince them they should come into school. I ran into the old story, eighth grade was good enough for me from their parents, and some of them didn't encourage them. Some of the youngsters hesitated to come because they said they didn't have proper clothing, which we could easily argue with them and convince them to come in. At that time, it was children used to like to dress a little better maybe than they do now.
How large was the school district of Birch Run at those times?
Well, Birch Run at that time only included the original primary district, which had increased to a high school district some 10 years before I came here. When I came, there were only about 235 children in the Birch Run school. However, of course, there were many out in the outlying districts. There were in the neighborhood of 100 in high school. I remember there were 16 graduates the first year I came, and that ran between 16 and 20 for several years, as compared today with a total enrollment of, I believe, around 2,600 and graduating classes of 130 to 150 each year. More graduating now per year than there were in the entire school in 1934 when I first arrived.
What rating was Birch Run given in those days? Class C, Class D, or?
At that time it was Class D. Of course, the number of pupils required has changed considerably since that time. If you got over 100, which we did very soon, you went into Class C. Today it's takes considerably more pupils.
What were the facilities at Birch Run like when you first came?
Well, first, we had the old original building, which was just like Topsy. It had just grown. I understand started as a one-room school, went to a two-room school, added a second story, and a year or so before I came, they excavated a basement to make a couple of classrooms. The university was not too happy with our situation, thought we were too overcrowded, and insisted that we get more facilities. We were able to rent three classrooms from the Sacred Heart School, which tided us over until we got a WPA project going. In 1937, we completed that, which included a gymnasium auditorium, today considered small, but at that time probably the nicest one in the county. At that, with four classrooms that we got, we asked the taxpayers for $5,000 to apply toward the requirements WPA had set. So they got the gymnasium, auditorium, four good classrooms for $5,000 of local tax money. Since then, of course, we've annexed districts in Birch Run Township, all of them, and more recently all of the districts in Tamuth Township. So now we're serving all of the original districts except two in Birch Run Township that years ago decided to annex to Frankenmuth so that their children could attend the Lutheran school there. In 1955, we completed the first unit of the so-called new high school. Later, we added on and added a new gym, which classrooms, new light, and still more recently what's called the North Elementary School. So now, with the facilities that we have in the village, plus some elementary schools still operating in Tamuth Township, we're able to handle the 2,600 approximately children that are attending this school. The Olive Reed Building, I think, was completed in 1958. That was the first building built entirely for elementary school pupils and named after a lady who had served the district for many, many years. In fact, came back as a remedial reading teacher when she was well in her 60s and continued until she was nearly 70 years old to help in remedial reading.
Mr. Lehman, what was the social life of a high school student like back in the early 30s and mid-40s?
Well, I think they did much the same as they do now as far as official social life of the school. They had their dances, they had their ball games, they had their parties, much as they do now. Proms maybe were a bigger event then than they are now. And during the first years I was here until wartime, we took annual senior trips to places like Washington, D.C. or Niagara Falls or Chicago. But other than that, I'd say that their social life was very similar to what sponsored yet by the schools.
Can you recall any students who've met with success in later life after teaching them in high school?
I'm proud of all of them as far as that goes, and I'd say they were practically all I can think of have been successful. We have our doctors, we have our lawyers, our nurses, our teachers, our bankers, so on, that we're proud of, but we're proud of all of them. We find that many went into industry, and I find that a lot of them are in supervisory capacities and are people that you're proud to know and proud to think you maybe have helped them along the way.
What was the village of Bertrand like when you first came to town, and where did you live?
The village hasn't changed much since I came here. The population hasn't increased to any great extent. The population increase has come outside the village in the township, which I think has probably at least tripled and maybe more than that in the years I've been here. Been some paving going on in the village. There have been two or three little subdivisions, but other than that, there hasn't been much growth within the village itself. However, the increase in school population will show that there's been an increase in the area, which is serviced by Bertrand. The tendency, of course, is for people to call it their village. They get their mail here, they do their banking here, they go to church here, and they go to school here. However, we still hear people say, well, I'm going to town today, and when they say that, they generally mean they're going into Saginaw to do their shopping.
Mr. Lehman, possibly you've heard some old-timers speak about early Bertrand. Can you relate anything from that?
Well, I lived with a man named Joe Oatney, who was a Frenchman, came over at the age of 17, lived to be 100 years old, and he's told me some stories of early Bertrand, how he used to buy cattle from the farmers and butcher them, take them to Saginaw on what he called the old plank road, which I think pretty much follows the same trail as the Dixie Highway does now. But it was a plank road, and they did pay, I guess, to drive on it with their horses and wagons and buggies. And one of the things that Bertrand was famous or infamous for was the fact that Saginaw County was wet before the 18th Amendment, while Genesee County was dry. They had an interurban that ran from Flint to Saginaw, but they had a turnaround Y here in Bertrand, and they tell me the booze cars used to run from Flint out here to fill their suitcases at the two local saloons. I remember an old jail sat here when I first came. It's now gone. They tell me that they had a marshal who used to lock up those who got a little too much of the joy while they were here and let them cool off overnight and send them back to Flint in the morning. But I also understand that the two saloon keepers made considerable money during that period. Bertrand was known pretty well around the state, I guess. When I first was approached by coming here to teach, I didn't even know where the town was, and when I mentioned it to a couple of old-timers, they would smile and say, yes, I know Bertrand. I found out then it's because they used to ride the Interurban from Flint to Bertrand with their suitcases and fill them up and take them back. Mr. Oatney also told me of people cutting wood here for the Pierre Marquette Railroad. When it was a wood-burning railroad, they'd stop here and throw on the firewood, load up the hopper, and the fireman would throw the wood in instead of coal at that time. This was a wood stop, he used to tell me.
What changes did occur during World War II, Korea and Vietnam War, and the attitudes of your students and possibly even the curriculums?
World War II, we didn't see much change in school population as far as increase was concerned. In fact, we may have lost students because we had them enlisting then to, it was a different atmosphere then than in the Korean War. It seemed that students were very patriotic, and some of them could hardly wait to get into service. Primarily, I remember the senior boys were very interested in getting into the Air Force, and during that period, very interested in mathematics. In fact, we added a course in aeronautics for the boys who were interested in getting into the Air Force. We had several of them who became pilots. In fact, we have maybe a few that are still in the Air Force, waiting for retirement or have just recently retired from the service. World War II, as I say, was different than the Korean War. Korean War, I don't remember very many boys dropping out to enlist. They were drafted, but waited until they were 18 to be drafted. A few joined the National Guard and got their service in that way. During World War II, the young fellows at least seemed far more interested in their studies than they may have during the Korean War, especially in the math, science, and aeronautics angle.
As far as the wars are concerned, how did they affect Bertrand as a community at that time?
Well, World War II, we had rationing of practically anything you can think of, from shoes to automobile tires. This was one of the jobs that they gave to the school teachers to hand out the ration books, sugar, meat, gasoline, so on. This we didn't have during the Korean War. The automobile shops, of course, in World War II were closed down as far as making automobiles, and they went to making tanks and machine guns. And it was considered your patriotic duty then to take a job in a war plant. In fact, I spent 4 summers in Flint working in war plants, 1 year on a line making army tanks, another one in a tin shop in which we were making war materials, another one in a parts plant, and 1 year in plant protection. This was, you felt you should be doing because of the scarcity of manpower. And of course, Bertrand has been a bedroom community, and people living here primarily do work in automobile plants, that time defense plants. Where a Korean War is a different situation. The war material was made, but automobiles continued to be made too.
Back in the early days of your teaching career, how did students get to school in the mornings? They didn't have the yellow shiny buses they have now, did they?
We didn't have a bus here until 1948, and we put on 2 buses. Previous to that, child coming into high school had to get himself here, and generally it was by walking. We may have had 1 or 2 boys who had cars that drove in from country. That's about all the cars we had in the 30s of students. Some of them would walk in here 4 or 5 miles and turn around and walk back at night. Considerably different today, where you pick them up at their door with that bright, shining bus that you're talking about.